Nah, not those Lions. Three Lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Now, you're very welcome back. Later on in the football show, we'll be joined by Pat Nevin, but we're turning back to GAA. Paddy Andrews is with us in the line. Hi, Paddy.
Evening, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, very well. So we've lots to talk about. Let's get straight into the story of the weekend in some respects, certainly from a Dublin point of view. Stephen Cluxton, for a man who doesn't want to be talked about much, he's often talked about.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, all right. Yeah, and to be honest, I think the fact that most of the games at the weekend and even last weekend of the Championship, there hasn't been much of a story so far in the Championship. So when the captain of the defending champions and one of the most, I suppose, iconic players of the past two decades is MIA for the first weekend, that is a big story. And it's an awkward one for Desi and for the coaches with Dublin, because there's not much clarity around a time frame. You know, it's Stephen's nature. He's not going to come out and speak in the media and kind of explain his rationale for whatever decision he takes. And so there is, it's a bit of uncertainty around that. And you can kind of see that probably with Desi's comments as well. But it's an awkward one for Dublin, because people are going to keep asking about it. And it's going to be a story over the next couple of weekends. Every time people are talking about Dublin, particularly when they go into their game against me, Desi's most certainly going to be asked about it. So there's that side of things. This Dublin team over the last number of years, they've been in this situation before. You know, Dermot Connolly would have taken some time out, Jack McCaffrey, Rory O'Carroll. So big players have kind of moved on at different stages. Paul Mannion, obviously the most recent example, but I think it's going to be a big miss for Dublin if he's not back later on this summer. And just with the schedule of the Championship, you think it's so tight, it's probably unlikely at this stage. You know, if the All-Ireland final is 6 or 7 weeks away and Stephen's not there at the minute, yeah, you would say it's probably unlikely that they're going to see him again this summer, by the looks of things.
Well, it feels like a situation that would be more suited to be February, March territory, not July after you've played a Championship match.
Yeah.
So Desi Farrell was asked afterwards about the situation, naturally, and he said the situation's very simple. And then it turned out it wasn't simple at all. The situation's very simple. Stephen isn't with us at the moment. He's gone back to his club. He's just taking time to heal the body, maybe regenerate the appetite. I don't know, to be honest, whether Stephen will be back or not, but he's not retired. He's just stepped away. Mm-hmm. We've spoken about it as a group. I think the service he's provided over the years, he deserves that respect and that time and that space to make up his mind. And then Desi was asked to follow up, do you expect him back this year? I don't know is the honest answer. It's not that we're trying to play games here in any way. He's asked for time and I think he deserves the time. So let's take that at face value. I certainly buy Desi Farrell saying I'm not trying to play games here. This isn't like, you know, you're holding a Kieran Donaghy type player in reserve and you don't want the opposition to know he's back. Like, it's a goalkeeper. So I'd say this just is the situation. But I'm sure someone in the group might be thinking, like, we want to give you time and everything, but it won't have come as a shock to Stephen that the Championship has been chalked in for the first week in July. So how much more time do you need, I'm sure, is the question.
That's the thing, Joe. It is an awkward one. There's no two ways about it. And you're right. Generally, with players, if they're deciding to step away or they're taking the time themselves, it's usually done earlier on in the season. Now, like, Stephen has been there for 20 years. He's had phenomenal, phenomenal service. That's undisputed. That goes without saying. But just with the structure of this Championship, the timing of the games, I mean, like I said, the whole thing is finished in the next 6 or 7 weeks. So there's not really a window to kind of make up your mind. You kind of have to be in or you're out. And that's why that's with just the scheduling alone, and Desi's comments, he's kind of hit the nail on the head there. I don't think there's anything kind of going on behind the scenes. It's just Stephen's decided that at the minute, for whatever reason, he's probably not. We don't know, is it his body or is he mentally? He's kind of saying, I want a bit of time to myself away from it. But I just think with the schedule of the Championship, it's probably unlikely for someone to come back in with only 6 or 7 weeks to go. It's not a case of you do this in February, you take the National League off, and then you have 4 or 5 months through championship. Yeah. The way with the structures of it this year, I just think it's unlikely. And that's the thing, you kind of want clarity on our Dublin supporters, the Dublin players themselves. Desi, I'm sure, probably want that clarity so they can kind of move on and focus on what's going to be far greater challenges than they would have got yesterday in Wexford Park, that they're obviously playing Meath in a couple of weeks' time. But until there is that clarity from one party or another, and like I said, I don't think it's going to come from Stephen. It's not his nature to...
No, I don't think he's put an Instagram post up the last time I checked.
No.
To reveal all. And based on your knowledge of Cluxton, could he slot back in very, very quickly? Like a week before the Meath match, if he turned up and he was fit as a fiddle and said, I'm ready to go, there'd be no real reacquaintance period. He'd be good to go in terms of kick-out strategy and drills.
He knows that he's basically designed kick-out strategies for the last number of years.
Yeah.
So in terms of being able to slot back in, but I think that's a big decision then for the coaches as well. Like Evan Comerford has deputised very ably for Stephen and is an excellent goalkeeper. He's played for Dublin for the last number of years as well. That's a big call for a manager to make if a guy is out of the panel and is not there and comes back in the week before a championship match to start them straight away. So there's that side of things as well for the wider group. You know, you want everyone training, everyone putting their shoulder to the wheel for the whole season. It's tricky for a guy to come back in having not been there for the last however long, a couple of months, and to go straight back in. So whether there's an appetite from Stephen that he'd want to do that, then there's also then the decision for Desi. You know, well, Evan Comfort's done really well for us.
Yeah.
Will I decide to drop this guy because Stephen's back? So it's just an awkward one. It's a bit of a distraction that they probably don't really need. You know, Desi's obviously, he was only back on the sideline yesterday. He was hoping he'd another week before he had to come back into a storm like that. So it's just a little thing that, like I say, Dublin are generally quite good at just focusing on the game and not letting outside interference come in and kind of distract them from things. But I think for support for the supporters and for Desi himself, it's going to continuously be asked. And I just look at, like I said, the timing of it is not ideal for them.
No.
And just for the structure of this year's championship, I think it's probably unlikely at this stage if he wasn't there yesterday to come back in the middle of the championship.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Now, look, some players are more equal than others, and that's a reality. You as a player, I don't know how distracted you would have been. I mean, it was notable that Desi Farrell said, we've talked about this as a group. So, as I'm sure you can attest, we're probably not getting the full story, and Desi's only telling us a small bit. So who knows what Cluxton's reasons are, first of all. Desi Farrell mentioned, get his appetite back, heal his body. Maybe there's personal stuff. Maybe there's other reasons, you know, and that's been disclosed to the players. I don't know, by the way. I'm just speculating. But if Farrell and the players have talked about it and everyone knows what the story is, is your sense they'd be kind of happy enough, or would there be someone there saying, ah, look, come on, we need to know?
No, I don't know exactly. I'm not privy. I'm outside now myself as well. Like, but I know from our past experience, like we had a very similar situation with Dermot Connolly, and Dermot came back in gyms last year, but he'd stepped away. Jack McCaffrey, I think was reign of footballer of the year when he decided he was going to Africa to do some charity work and missed the championship. Rory O'Carroll was the same. He was an all-star fullback. We'd won the All-Ireland and then he left to work in New Zealand. So the team have dealt with these things, kind of speed bumps, quite well in the past.
Yes.
The fact that it's Stephen is probably even more high profile than all of those guys. So it is. It's a tricky one, but I think within the group, they would have had that conversation and they'll just focus now on moving on. If Stephen comes back, that's a bonus. But if he's not there, Evan Comerford, you're in, and they've total faith in Evan to kind of do the job there. I don't think the players will be overly concerned about it now. Like I say, Desi, they would have had that conversation. This is where we're at. And now the show is on the road. So if there's one team that can deal with it and has experience of dealing with things like this in the past, it is Dublin. But if you look on the face of it, Joe, despite all the distractions and off the field stuff, if Stephen Cluxton's not in goal for Dublin, it has a huge impact on the pitch. He is a talismanic figure. His kickouts, Dublin keeping possession after kickouts, is a huge part of their game and the success they've had. You're probably not going to get a real test of it, but certainly yesterday in Wexford Park. You probably won't get it throughout the Leinster Championship, but if Dublin are playing Kerry in the All-Ireland final and Kerry have obsessed about Stephen's kickouts for years and years and years, and he's always been able to come up trumps and pull something out of the bag, that's where he'd be really, really missed. So despite all the kind of circus that we'll go around with over the next couple of weeks if there's no more clarity on it. I think on the pitch, you can't get away. He would be a big, big miss for Dublin.
Yes, well, that's the key point, isn't it? And as you're talking there, it's kind of crystallising for me. That's why Farrell's willing to allow this circus. Because if it was most other players who were saying, look, I'm just not where I need to be, you suspect the manager would say, that is fair enough. And I tell you what, go get yourself ready and come back next season. I want to see you. Open door. You know, we shake hands. Because obviously, championship has started now. So, you know, we can't be dragging this thing out. So no problem, come back next year. Whereas Farrell has even left the door open for Cluxton for this year. And it is a bit messy and it is a bit of a circus. But it does ultimately suggest he's not willing to close the door on Cluxton. One, because Cluxton's a big person to close the door on, you know, and Farrell's still, you know, getting his feet into the getting his feet under the table a touch. And secondly, he obviously thinks, you know, come showtime, I could still really do with him.
Yeah, and that's the same as any coach. You want your best players available to you in the biggest games. That's in any coach, any sport. And there's, like I say, there's no doubt about it. As much as Stephen's legacy is there for 20 years playing in goal for Dublin. He's been at the absolute forefront of the success they've had. All of those things are great. But the bottom line is, if Dublin want to win the All-Ireland, they'll rather have Stephen Cluxton in goal than not.
So you think Farrell's you think Farrell's okay to play it this way then?
Well, I think exactly what he said yesterday, you kind of take it at face value. And like I said, we're not privy to maybe all the stuff going on behind the scenes. But if Stephen doesn't owe anyone anything, you know, and like I say, players are all equal, but some are more equal than others. And I think Stephen, if there's one player who has the right to kind of take his time and make a decision like that, and I think that's very smart by Desi that he said that. Like I say, the players, I don't think, will be overly concerned. They'll just be focusing on me in the next round of the championship. Like I say, they keep the show on the road. They're very used to doing that and not getting caught up in kind of distractions and things like that. But I think if you're asking Desi, honestly, and particularly if Dublin are going to win the All-Ireland and they're playing Mayo or Galway in a semi-final, or particularly Kerry in an All-Ireland final, you would want to have him on your team. And that's the bottom line. So that's why I can see there's probably a bit of flexibility there in that regard. But my own thoughts on it, just with the nature of this season, there's just not a lot of time.
No, to
wait around. The games are going to come ticking fast. And that's why if he's not there at this stage, personally, I think it's probably unlikely that you'd see him this season. And like I say, it's not a retirement. He might come back next season. But just with the timing of it now, it's too short a season. I think it'd be a big ask for him if he did come back.
Yeah, it would. To the match itself, Dublin 15 points, Wexford 7. A long time since Dublin have only scored 15 points in a game. That was their closest provincial game since 2013. Now, they were never in danger of losing it, I don't think. They did go a 15-minute spell in the first half without scoring. I only saw the highlights, but certainly on the Sunday game, there were errors and sloppiness picked out and misplaced passes and miscued and things we just don't see from Dublin very often. Your assessment of the performance, and I'm just as interested in how would that be dealt with now by the team?
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think sloppy is probably the word for it in the first half. You look like Dublin brought in a couple of newer guys, Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne, Sean McMahon, Ryan Baskell and these guys. So that's a positive for Desi that you're getting these guys. And I think that's the nature of what Desi's going to have to do over the next number of years. You know, the team is moving on, you know, mainstays. Like Stephen's obviously laid from Keane O'Sullivan was gone last week. Myself and Michael Darragh are gone. Philly McMahon and Kevin McMenamin probably aren't playing as much. So it is up to younger guys to come through and they're going to get those opportunities. So that's a positive. I think Brian Howard coming back, you know, Dublin need Brian Howard back this year. He was kind of coming in off the bench last year. He's a really important player for Dublin, particularly, like I say, if some of the older guys are moving on. So that was a positive side of things for Dublin, for Desi, that you got those younger guys in. But they will be frustrated, more so, whatever about Stephen Cluxton and what he's going to do. I think the players will be frustrated and the coaches with some of their skill execution, particularly in the first half. And it was a pretty flat performance from Dublin. So that will be their focus this week, most certainly. Okay, a couple of chinks in the armour there in terms of our execution, our handling, our kick passing. Some of the shots were poor as well. That's what the focus will be on, because it is going to be a step up against Meath in 2 weeks' time. But that's what the sloppiness was a worry for them yesterday.
And like, so we can think, you know, Dublin players come on here and use words like execution and learnings and sticking to the process and all this kind of stuff, you know? And I get that. But I presume in that dressing room, say immediately after the game, lads sitting beside each other taking off their boots, or in training this week, I presume they're not turning to each other saying, we need to improve our execution. Are they almost just saying, lads, that was a load of you know what, and we need to sort that out and get a grip? Or like, what's the atmosphere in terms of dealing with a disappointing performance like that?
You'd be surprised, Joe. It is. That's the kind of culture that's been created there over the last number of years. That is the conversations they'll have. And that's why it will be frustrating, because they would have prepared for that game against Wexford as diligently as any championship game.
So when you say that is the conversation, would it be more the lads, our execution was not so good today, we need to take learnings, or would it be more that was a load of shite, lads, sort yourselves out?
I think they'll know that they didn't perform to the levels and it was a bit rusty. But definitely, I'd say when they review that game this week in training, it will be highlighted to them by the coaches, but also the players will know themselves.
Okay.
Cormac Costello misses a couple of frees. Paddy Smalls dispossessed, carrying the ball into contact, some of the kick passes off. The guys will know that themselves, and that's the frustrating thing. But it would be, they'll have those conversations. It'll be pointed out to them by the coaches, look, our scoring percentage was way down, our handling errors, our kick pass, and things you just really, really don't associate with Dublin. That's the frustrating thing for them. And that's what they'll be focusing on this week on the training pitch. They'll absolutely be having those conversations.
Which players would lead the, not the recriminations, but which players can you imagine in that dressing room now, as maybe they're getting changed before training, piping up about the weekend?
Look, I think Michael Fitzsimons, James McCarthy, Brian Fenton, you can see it. The guys, there's a lot of leaders on that team and a lot of experience there. Stephen himself would have been definitely one of the guys who would have been having those conversations as well. That there's no doubt about that. But I think there's a big maturity in that team, even from some of the younger guys that have come through. Like I say, I hate kind of using the phrase, but that's the culture there. You're expected to analyse your own game and know, like, players know themselves, I didn't play well there today, or my kick passing was off, or things like that, and that's the focus. They'll be working on the pitch. The coaches will give them a little kick in the backside as well, I'm sure of that. I think Desi would be frustrated with that performance yesterday, but there's a lot of ownership and leadership there in that team that players will know that themselves, and if they didn't, like say, you'll have a James McCarthy or a Michael Fitzsimons or one of these guys to remind you if you don't think it yourself, you know.
Bit of a bark still goes a long way.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair. Yeah.
So look, there's a lot going on. I'm sure you'll be chatting on the football pod on Wednesday with Tommy and Andy about various things. Like, my quirk has gone from leash, so that you can get that on podcast or on our social channels, and I'm sure you'll tease some of those things out. I did want to ask you about Roscommon Galway. People might be interested in this game. It was live on TV, so they might be curious for your thoughts. Galway 2-11, Roscommon 12 points, both relegated to Division 2 this year. What really jumped out to me is the extent to which the Roscommon approach has been massively criticised. Like, it was called dreadful, it was called hard to watch, it was a boring game. A lot of the criticisms are almost about, like, they have taken away my enjoyment of the game, as opposed to it wasn't the right way for these players who train all the time to win the game. So I'm curious, did you think it was ultra defensive and to the point that it wasn't the most effective way for Roscommon to try and win the game?
No, we've touched on this, like I say, on the podcast, and we've seen a big swing throughout the National League of teams playing really attacking football.
Yeah.
And you've seen teams everywhere, even up in the Ulster Championship, seem to be moving away from this defensive style of play, and it is outdated. It really is. I mean, like, Down did it themselves. They were probably the most uber defensive team, and they were relegated. A really poor defeat in the championship last week. And the thing with Roscommon, I don't think it actually suits their players either. That style of play that they've got, really, they've got flair forwards like the Murtas, Donny Smith, and these guys. I think Roscommon's best chance is to play to their players' strengths, and that's why it just didn't seem like it really suited them at all. It was a dour game, and like we touched on this. You're waiting for the championship, the football championship tonight. Like, the hurling championship had a great weekend, and you're thinking Galway Roscommon is a big game. People are looking forward to it. The conditions didn't help, but then you're like, Roscommon's tactics, I don't think it suits them as a team, but also on a wider discussion, that style of play is becoming redundant. You're not going to have much success parking the bus, for want of a better word. Players don't enjoy playing it. Supporters absolutely don't enjoy watching it. And you can see the reaction on social media and Sunday game and things like that. It just wasn't a good spectacle, but I don't think they ever really fired a shot themselves as well. And that's the disappointing thing. It's been a bad season for Anthony Cunningham and Roscommon. You know, they were very kind of passive in the National League as well, lost their games, got relegated badly beaten by Armagh in a relegation playoff, and then they go out so meekly at home to Galway yesterday. And I think that's why there's frustration there. The style of play is a bit dated, but also I just don't think it suits their players. Okay. They have better players to play on the front foot and get the best out of them. And I mean, watch, the 12 points from play is 12 points in the whole championship. That's not good.
Can Galway put it up to Mayo realistically?
I wouldn't have thought so until Killian O'Connor got injured. I think he's a huge, huge miss for Mayo. The way Aidan O'Shea is going to take on that scoring burden, you can see that against Sligo, and you'll probably see it this weekend in the game against Leitrim. I expect Mayo to come through that pretty comfortably. I still think Mayo will probably nick it. I think Galway are a little bit inconsistent, particularly if Shane Walsh is injured. We don't know the extent of that. He would be a big miss. But they've got like Matty Tierney and these guys, Sean Kelly, Paul Kelly. They've got younger players coming through from that successful under 20 team, and Pádraig Joyce is finally starting to get a little bit of momentum. They were very disappointed being relegated and how they lost that game to Monaghan. But if you think their first game in the National League, Joe, they were absolutely obliterated by Kerry by 20 odd points. They've shown big improvements from then. I think Shane Walsh is going to be huge if they're going to beat Mayo. They need to have him fit. But I still think Mayo are probably still a step ahead with their experience, and I'd still have them as favourites for the Connacht Championship.
Yeah. So look, like I said, you're chatting on the Football Pod with Paddy and Andy, Tommy Rooney alongside you. It's live on Wednesday, so people can catch your thoughts on all of these games there in a bit more depth. By the way, did you say on the pod that you had heard Cluxton was back, or did I imagine that?
Well, there was, I think Kieran Kilkenny did a piece in the media, was it 2 weeks ago, I think, just before the championship started, and that was the comment that Stephen was back training. So I assumed he was back, because he can't take everything at face value that you're reading the media.
Okay, so you based it on that. I wasn't sure if you were still hanging on in the WhatsApp group or something.
Ah, no, they booted me out straight away. Okay. I haven't spoken to the lads in months. I'm old news, Joe.
Okay.
I just assumed he was back, because that's what it heard. But then I think there were probably warning signs were there when he played a club championship match last weekend, when Dublin would have been training. So it was kind of thinking maybe he's not back, and that's been the case now, obviously confirmed by Desi. So
okay, we'll see how it all plays out over the next couple of weeks. Listen, great to have you on. Thanks so much, Paddy Andrews. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Take it easy.
GAA on Off the Ball.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.